Brother John is up to bat tonight. He's going to break open the bread of life. So I encourage you to hook up with what God shares through him, with the anointing that God has put on him. Receive him as he comes. Brother John.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. My own, can you hear me? I think everybody does that. I'm going through. Oh, man, the sound department is on it tonight. Wasn't going to matter, though, because if it wasn't working, I could yell, baby. I could yell. Make sure you hear me. Glad to see everybody tonight. Thank you. Those of you who are joining us online tonight, not going to be before you long, but what I want to do is to stir you up, kind of like the song said. What's the last song y'all sang? Lord, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom to see things like you do. That's one of the things that makes us different from some other people. Other people are trying to grasp the thoughts and the concept of their particular religion, but God wants you to think just like he does. The Bible says that you have been blessed with the wisdom of Christ. He has become wisdom for us. The Bible says that God has given us his spirit so that we can know his thoughts. And if he wants you to know his thoughts, that means he wants you to think like he does. He wants you to feel like he feels. And what I want to do is motivate you to do something, to move out beyond your comfort zone, to move out beyond your personal space, to do what I believe the Lord would have us do as part of our job description. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? Yes. So every Christian should have a measure of faith. The Bible says that God has given to each one of us the measure of faith. But faith, or exhibiting faith, is not the job description of the believer. And one of the things that I was challenged with when Joel was here is what I was particularly doing with my faith right now. And so again, I want to stir you up. I'm gonna talk in the same vein as I talked last time. So I'll do a little bit of review. But then what I'm hoping is to stir something up within you, to move you to action. Amen. This is not a passive faith. Amen. The Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Key word there being the violent taketh. Amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sit under your word, to sit in the presence of your spirit. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and move us to do your will. It is our desire to see your will manifested in this earth. As we sing the song, Lord, we surrender everything to you. We don't want to hold back anything, Father. There are areas in our lives that we've not given over to you, Lord. Help us to surrender those things so that we are an open vessel for you to channel your love and your power through to impact the world around us. All right, now we're going to start in Acts 1:8. Again, I'm going to just do that by review, so I'll go through that quickly. I do have to mention there's been a minor change. The last time I was here and I was reading the word, I noticed I had a little issue seeing the words. So I said, that's not good enough. So she took me to the eye doctor and got me some glasses. So I am no longer the same. There's been an addition to my ministry. So pray for me as I work at how to flip this out and put it back. These are cheaters. Yeah, they said these are readers. The only thing I thought about when I got these, I remember there was an incident with Smith. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth, and he was out doing ministry, and he was laying hands, and people were getting healed. And he took out his readers, his glasses to minister, whatever. And so a man came up to him at the end of the service and said, you know, Smith, he said, I want to ask you something. You great man of faith doing all this healing. He said, God is so powerful and he's healing and all this stuff. Why do you have those glasses on? And Smith Wigglesworth looked at him and with deep contemplation, and he said, well, for the same reason you got that bald spot growing on the top of your head. So don't ask me about these glasses. I'm going to respond in kind. Amen. I'm not that harsh. He's a little bit more rough rubbed in me. So Acts 1:8. Let's I told you I'm gonna fumble with these things. I'm gonna start there. Remember, God gave them the word. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the world. And so we see here in God commissioning them to wait here, but his ultimate purpose was to send them out, right? He wanted them to expand. And I went on to show you that they actually did the exact opposite, right? Because the Holy Spirit fell. They had an amazing impact. 3,000 people were added into the church that day. And then you see what they then did is they stayed right where they were, and the apostles kept right on teaching, the miracles kept right on happening, but it was all in Jerusalem, which is not what the Lord wanted for them, right? And so then we go down to Acts 8. And again, sometimes when an agitation is brought into your life, it may not be the devil that's in it. You know, God may be stirring you up to do something other than what you're currently doing. And so we see Stephen step out, to be a man called by God, laid hands on him to go out and serve the people. But in his serving the people, God put an amazing anointing on him, and he's preaching for the Lord. And it agitates the wrong people, and they decide that he needs to get stoned. And Saul is there, who will become Paul, and he sees that, and he gets stirred up. And then he goes out and starts oppressing the church at that time, which wasn't called the church. And because of his oppression, it actually scattered the disciples, not the apostles who went into hiding, but it scattered the disciples. And then you start seeing these miracle stuff happening beyond just Jerusalem. Remember who was the Philip? I think Brian mentioned that, where he's out preaching, and then God tells him, Philip, leave that place. I need you to go over here. And so he leaves the place where, because now he's learned, right? He leaves the place where the anointing and the miracles are happening, and goes out to the wilderness and sees a man, right? And he comes up alongside the man. What's Brian? Brian, remember what was the message? It was open door evangelism. And he goes and he sees a man, and he comes alongside of him, and he begins to minister. Turns out that man is an Ethiopian eunuch. Eunuch. And he's a high official, and he's reading Isaiah, doesn't understand Isaiah, and he takes the opportunity not only to explain Isaiah, but to minister to him. The man gets saved, but then he goes back and impacts Ethiopia. Amen? God wants you guys to have that type of impact. Well, what you do here, remember the words of UT, yes, will change the world. See, we got an anointed school. So, God is actually interested not just in your salvation, which is, again, the key, what God wants. He wants to deliver you from darkness, deliver you from sin. It's why he sent the Messiah. But then he's also interested in the expanding of his kingdom. Now, turn with me to Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 18. We'll start in verse 18 and get a running start into this. And, again, you begin to see Luke 13, verse 18, Luke 13, verse 18, and we'll begin to see the passion of the Lord. So in 18, now he's doing some miracles, getting people stirred up, and then he begins this discourse. So he was saying, what is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? Which is very important, right? Because before Jesus came, 400 years, nobody had heard a voice from the Lord. And so Jesus comes, and the things he began to say is, you think it's like this, but I tell you it's like this. You say it's like this, but I tell you it's like this. The kingdom of God is different from what you guys are thinking. And so here now he's going to give an insight here that relates to us going out. He said, what's it like? He said, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took and threw into his own garden. And it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. Now, it's important here because we know he's used the term mustard seed before. But when he used it in relation to faith. But here, there's no mention of faith. Here he's saying he put the seed in the garden, it grew up, and it grew into a big flower. We know the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds, but the flower that grows up is big. He says here that this thing grows up so big that the birds of the air can come
and nestled in its leaves. So what he's saying here, the kingdom of God is not just about the mustard seed that goes up into the ground, but it's about what's produced that can feed the things around it. So he's looking for something that's going to impact and influence others. Okay, let me give you a little bit of something that I got from Miles Monroe. Miles Monroe goes, he was ministering, and he was talking about the garden. And he said in the garden, you know, when he put Adam and Eve together, he set up the man as the head of the wife. And actually, that was the marriage relationship. So we're talking about husband leading wives, not men leading women, because he made them men and women equal to lead the world. But he said the interesting thing about that is that while Adam was given authority, spoken authority, Eve also had authority, but her authority was through influence. Interesting, right? Right? And it's one of the reasons why I say, hey, the way the woman goes, if the woman is troubled, there goes the house. So that's right. Nietzsche comes into the house angry and upset, I'm going upstairs. Right? Not really, it's a small house. But anyway. Happy wife, happy life, all that, you know. Why? Because the woman carries great influence. And again, I'm not talking about women being submissive to men. That's not what God set up. We're talking about the marriage confine. But the interesting thing here is the woman had impact through influence. Do you know that the word for church is ecclesia? Ecclesia is a female, what's the vocabulary term? I can't tell you. Ecclesia is feminine. There it is. Feminine. So while our God and our King and our Lord has the authority in the world, he did not leave us without authority, but our authority is through influence. We're supposed to be influencing the things around us. Again, God says, you are the mustard seed that was planted in the world that sprouted so that others can feed off you. If nobody's feeding off your mustard tree, then something's wrong. Now, everybody's not coming to the tree. That goes back to Brian ministering open door evangelism. But the tree's leaves are there for those that are around to come and to be nourished. He said the kingdom of God is like that. It's like the mustard seed. Let's read the next part there. And see, God is concerned with kingdom expansion. So 19 is like a mustard seed. Verse 20 said again, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God like? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. It's like a woman that took leaven, put it in some dough, just 3 pecks of flour, and then even though she put it in the one spot, the influence of that leaven spread throughout the entire dough. Now, again, what's he saying here? He's saying, whatever I'm doing in you is not only meant for you, but whatever I'm doing in you is intended to expand beyond you. The problem is when we take ourselves away from the opportunity to influence others and we do it intentionally, right? Because we learn, hey, let's just don't bother other people. Let other people keep to themselves. You keep to yourselves. Completely impossible when dealing with the things of God. How do we know this? The Bible says that you are lights, right? You're light and salt, city set on a hill. And he says the light is not meant to be hidden. Turn with me to, I'm getting ahead of myself. No. Matthew 5, 14 to 16. Matthew 5, 14, 16, watch this. He says, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket? One of the problems with the modern day church is the opposite of what the homosexuals got. The homosexuals coming out the closet and all of us are running into the closet. Right? Just let them be. Let them do what they do. No. God intends for you to be where you are so that you can have an impact on those around you. And he's not concerned with you hiding those things. And one of the things that I struggle with, I don't know as far as what you struggle with, was one of the things that Joel ministered to is either I'm afraid or I don't want to make other people uncomfortable. But what does the Bible say about the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is an offense to those that are dying. Now, he's not telling us to be offensive, right? I don't come in, look at Aisha and say, what's up, fat woman? You know, that's intentionally being offensive. That's not what God is telling me to do. But I am seeing and say, hey, what's up, beautiful woman? You look great today. How's your day? Now, she could be receptive to that. Or she could be closed. I don't know you. Why are you talking to me? Don't talk to me. That part is not my problem. Right? My responsibility is to extend to her the love and grace of God. And then look for the open door to minister the gospel. Now, I'm not saying I should force that on her, but I should be looking for that opportunity to minister to her. That's where we get some sow, some water, some reap. We have no idea what role we play in that process. We just know that we play a role. However, if I'm the one that's supposed to sow a seed in Asia and I don't sow my seed, then when Tara comes along, maybe she's supposed to water the seed. There's no seed in there for her to water because John didn't do his part. So in the process, you understand. Now, God, we're not talking about the grace of God and how God accomplishes stuff. And I'm just talking about how we may make it difficult for the Father to accomplish what he's trying to accomplish. Again, he didn't deposit himself within you so it can be contained within you. Remember, go back to the ministering of the talents. I think Damon ministered about that. And he gave what, five to the one servant, gave three to the other servant, gave one to the other servant. And then which one was he unhappy with? He was unhappy with the one that didn't do anything. He wasn't unhappy because he didn't multiply to five. Or he wasn't unhappy with the one that said, well, he didn't do five, he did three, right? He just multiplied to three. He said, you were lazy. You were lazy. Again, I'm trying to minister to something because, well, why, God, am I not doing right now what you want me to do? Why am I not focusing on expanding the kingdom? The question is, well, John, have you been lazy? Have you put off doing right now what God wants you to do? So, well, I'll just maybe do that in the future. Maybe I'll just let Pastor Sanders handle that. You know, they're a lovely couple. A lot of people come in and out. I'll just let them deal with that and pass the buck. No, God intend, there is a group, there is a sphere, there is a place of influence that you have access to that God wants you to minister to. Again, it's ministering to me. God wants the kingdom to expand. Last time I ministered that the expansion of the kingdom happens through us. Unless we're not focused on expanding the kingdom. Luke 17, turn to that. And let's look at something Jesus said. Again, I want to drive home the point that God is actually focused on expanding the kingdom. He's ministering here. Verse 20. I think the Pharisees, 17:20. Now it says, verse 20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. So now, you know, they're ridiculing him. The king's supposed to come. But when is this kingdom supposed to come, right? And Jesus says, and the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor would they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is in your midst right now. What was he talking about? He says, well, where I am, the kingdom is. He told his disciples, said, well, Lord, show us the Father. And that'll suffice for us. That'll be the whole thing right there. If you just show us the Father, then we all in, right? We all in. He said, Thomas, have I not been with you all this time? and you can't recognize me. Understand, when you go into a place, when you go into your classroom, when you go into your store, when you go into your workout facility, you are carrying the kingdom with you. So it is appropriate for you, he says, where I am, the kingdom of God is. And where the kingdom is, kingdom influence is about to take place. Unless I stop that, unless I work through that. So he says, the Pharisees here said, well, what's going to happen? When are we going to see the horses? When are we going to see the trumpets? When are we going to see the fanfare to see the kingdom happening as the king comes in? And he says, no, no, no. He said, you're not going to see it because it's in your midst. Let me give you another translation. He's in the Phillips version, it says, the kingdom of God is in you. Right? The kingdom of God is in you. The Amplified says, the kingdom of God is among you because of my presence. Again, when you're hanging out with your friends, you don't have to say it to them, but know that the kingdom of God is among them because of your presence. You go to the store, you're conducting business with the cashier. Guess what? You could tell her, hey, the kingdom of God is among you. It's right here because I'm here. And God's not just there to see what's going on, but he's there to impact and influence people. I was you've heard this before. Pastors told this story. Some of the ministers told this story. It's a time when Smith Wigglesworth was walking through a train, and he looked over at a person sitting there, and the person screamed out, oh, my God, man, oh, man, you convicted me with your eyes. And he's looking at him, what in the, you know, I'm just going to my seat. He said when he went on, he was in this store, and the cashier came out to cash stuff. And he said, oh my God. And he looked at him, and he got back and said, well, Lord, what's going on with all this? And Smith said, well, Smith, your body is my temple, and I'll look out of my eyes whenever I get ready to. Let me tell you something. I want the kind of relationship where God can freely access me at any time. Again, now that hasn't happened to me. I've looked at Anitra intently and worked something to have you. But that's different. I'm working other stuff. Right, Tom, I want that kind of influence. Let me tell you something. You can have that kind of influence. If you're drawing close to God, spending time with God, then at any opportune time, God can access your vessel to influence people. And he wants to influence people through you. He said, you're not going to see it because it is deposited within my believers and it is expanding through them. It's going from them to someone around them. And then it's going to go from that someone that was around them to the person that's around them, right? So God is concerned with kingdom expansion. Now, look at this, another way to drive this home. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, I'm just driving this point home, and then I'm gonna end this on a warning or whatever, something that we can look for. And again, this is something that's ministering. I'm chewing on this and I'm actually operating on it. I actually met with Joel. I wanted to ask him some questions. And he lit into me pretty good. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Richard was there, but he didn't comfort me. But that's okay. That's okay. No. That wasn't his role. Trying to look for how to be more effective for the kingdom. Listen to this. Listen to this discourse in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 11 through 21, right? Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. You can stop right there. He says, we persuade men. Do you know part of your job description is to persuade men, right? You're not supposed to be ineffective with other people. Again, the church is supposed to use her influence to influence others. Look what he says here. He says, man, he says, God wants me to persuade men. Verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your conscience. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer to those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are of sound mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Have included this, that one died for all, therefore all die. Another translation says that God's love compels me. I could not do this if I wanted to, but the love of God compels me. When I was working at the camp, and again when I was training counselors, when I was doing it myself, one of the things that he encouraged, I said, look, the kids that we have coming up here, God loves them. God loves them, and because God loves them, I'm going to need you to love them. They were not always lovable. you know what I'm saying? There were things that they did. I remember we had a trial run. It's broken up into three camps now. But at one time, it was just one camp, and we said, well, we're going to have a camp just for all young people. Right? So the first time I got there, we got to pick, who do you want to work with? First thing, I want to work with the teens, right? I want to work with the teens. I'm with the oldest teens. And he's like, all right, we're going to put you with the younger guys, right? Because most of the bigger teens were bigger than me. So he's like, yeah, I don't know if that's going to work for you, John. And it's a safety issue. So anyway, so I was like, all right, I'm going to work with this group. And so when we got the youngest group, I had like 10, 11-year-olds. You know, and they can be a bit rambunctious. And I was working with this kid, and he had did something. I said, look, man, you can't do that. Come over here. And he said, man, you know what? I'm going to kick your A. And I really didn't want to hear that. I was like, most of the teens, this dude was not bigger than me. I was like, we can go settle this in the love of God. In the love of God. This was not my ministry. As I heard, there was one, just letting you know what we was dealing with. There's one of my guys that I work with. He's like, John, he was telling me a story. He said, yeah, we were doing this, and I was in there. I was cutting this dude hair, and it was one of the kids. He was talking to us and whatever, and he came over and he spit on this dude, my friend. And I was like, man, what'd you do? He said, man, I grabbed him by the neck, slammed him on the floor, and just started slamming his head. And I was like, oh, right, ministry of the Lord. And he said, you see this? The devil's trying to kill you. I'm a Christian, so I can't do it. But the devil's trying to kill you while he's slamming his head. I didn't have that ministry. I didn't have that ministry. Let me tell you something. When that kid got up in there, he had a new thought. I didn't minister in that. But, you know, sometimes they're not lovable. But you got to love. When I had the opportunity to discipline the kid, you know what the hardest thing was? It wasn't the actual discipline. I told you about the times I ran 20 times with the kids. Doing the discipline was not the hardest thing. You know what the hardest thing was? After the discipline, treating the kid like it never happened. Why? Because God still loved him. And then when I had to watch, when I did that, he said, why are you still being nice to me? Why are you doing this? And I said, you know something? The God that I serve loves you. And because I love him, I have to love you. And you see the change on their face. Because I'm not trying to get him to see how I'm treating him. What I'm trying to get him to see is how the Lord wants to treat him. But the Lord's agent for doing that is me. God intends for you to have influence. He does. He wants you to persuade men, and he's compelling us to do what he did for us when he called us. Amen. Now, I want to finish here in 2 Corinthians 5. Hear the Lord's heart as he's going through these things. So he says, I'm compelled. The Lord compels us. And 15, he died for all, so that they who might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, because God has called us in this manner, we're not looking at people the way they're acting in their flesh. We're looking beyond that to their spirit, to what's going on, because we want to do or see happening in them what God wants to happen in them. 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. That's the context to that. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. All right. The old things passed away. Behold, all things come new now. All these things from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Look, he reconciled us and then he passed on to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the service of reconciliation. That's, he said, not only did he reconcile us, but he said, you know what? You turn around and what I did for you, you do for others. Are you getting the picture? He actually is interested in the influence of the gospel going beyond you. But however, sometimes we get in here or we get in the kingdom and then this is enough. Well, I'm going to come to church on Wednesday. I'm going to come to church on Sunday. I'm doing my part. But I'm putting it out there to you that if that's the only thing you're doing, then you might not be fully convinced with the mission that God has given us, because this scripture says that he has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, that's the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. Same concept as the kingdom of God is in your midst. You're an ambassador. Ambassadors represent the kingdom or the nation or the country they are from. If the ambassador for Jamaica was in the United States, that ambassador for Jamaica represents all that Jamaica is. If somebody comes to that Jamaican ambassador and says, well, what do you think about some of the things that Trump is doing? And then he steps out and says, well, I really don't like him. I think some of the things that he's doing is wrong. He will be fired on the spot because that ambassador is only supposed to represent the thoughts and the intents of his nation. Exactly what God wants from us. That's why he says what he thinks we're supposed to think. How he loves, we're supposed to love. Why? He wants his influence to go through you to influence those around you. Look at the concept. He wants the kingdom to expand. He's calling you ambassadors. He's telling you that where you are, that's where the kingdom is. He wants the kingdom influence to expand. Now, what do we have to be worried about? Right? What should we be warned of? Turn to Ephesians 5, 14 through 16. And then this gives you the warning. Ephesians 5:14. It says, for this reason, it says, right? And he gives a discourse above that. But I want to focus on this. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I would say 90% of the church is asleep. 90. Well, John, what are you talking about? Same thing he warned us about when he gave the parable of the sower. What did he tell you? The sower sows the seed, it falls among the thorns. And he said, look, what? And when the disciples, what are you talking about? He says, those thorns represent the cares of the world. And they choke out the power of the world. I know how it is. You got responsibilities. You got school that you're dealing with. You have a husband or a wife that you're dealing with. You have a business or a job that you're dealing with. And it's very easy to focus on those things and forget about the mission of God. God's not concerned with your business in that sense. You're not going to get to heaven and God look at you and say, you know, I am glad that you had a good third quarter. Right? Is it what is it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Now, if you're in business, does God want you to succeed? Does God want you to prosper? Of course. Yes. Why? Because he's looking for that successful, prosperous business to influence others around them. I went to this business opportunity function. And this person, the first thing they came said when they came out and was talking to these people, they said, you know what, I just wanted to let y'all know that the reason why I'm successful and in the position that I'm in is because God has put me in this position. God has put me here. God has blessed me. He's saying this to these people that are in this room. They're there because this person is successful in business. Do you know not a single person left that room? Why? Because they're interested in what that business person was doing. And if God was a function of that, they didn't care. Well, then that's what I need in my life. But we let the world put us in a place where we think our Christianity is a crutch. Yeah. No. Why do you think all these athletes get up here and say, hey, man, the first thing I want to do is thank God? You don't even know what they're talking about, you know? But they know that part. Well, I just want to thank God. God gave me the success and blah, 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 blah. Why? Because they're trying to combine God and success. God and success doesn't have to be exclusively mutually exclusive. No, he wants you to be successful in your business. Why? Because he's looking for that to influence others, right? So the first thing he says here, it says, wake up. Don't allow those things. Don't allow those worries. Don't allow those cares to make you fall asleep to what is really important or what matters with God. 14, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise men. What are you talking about? He's talking about be careful how you live. God has granted you wisdom so that you know what's going on around you. He doesn't want you to live like you're unaware, right? There are a lot of things going on in the world. A lot of upheaval happening because Trump is in office. Guess what? God doesn't care that Trump is in office. Makes it a little bit better for the Christians because the Democrats have problems with Christianity. They might make it a little tough and things like that, but that's not God's main concern. God's main concern is with us working to expand the kingdom. Yes. Praise God for the Republicans, but God is not Republicans. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't be involved with politics. If that's where your gifting is, that's where your wisdom is, go in there and be the best politician that you can be. Influencing that realm for God. That's what he wants. We get in there and we take up the mantra, their mantra. Nah, you're supposed to get in there and influence that mantra. Why? Because God is looking to influence them. And I'm telling you, God is also looking to influence Democrats. Why? Because God doesn't care about Republicans and Democrats. He cares about the soul. He wants these people saved and delivered. The Bible says God does not intend for anyone to perish. That's his desire. How's that desire going to be realized? How is it going to be accomplished? It's going to be accomplished through you unless you fall asleep. Stay asleep or stay complacent or get in a position like this. Remember the last one I talked about where Jesus says, you know what? He's out there ministering and he says, man, the harvest is plentiful. And he says, pray the Lord that he send out laborers into the heart because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. My question is, why are the laborers few? They lazy. They don't want to do it. They see the work that's out there and they don't want to do it. Are they asleep? They're not even aware of the harvest because they're doing their own thing and the harvest is spoiling. Or do they just not care? You can't afford to be in a position that you don't care. Why? Because you know that he cares. And if he cares, then you got to care. Well, John, why are you saying all this? Because I want to motivate you to get on board with what God wants. He wants us to expand the kingdom. Well, how am I going to do that? I have no idea. But I can guarantee you the way you expand the kingdom is probably going to be different than how God has me expand the kingdom. The scope of the people we talk to, where we talk to the people, right? You can just look at that. He said the harvest is plentiful. That means there are fields everywhere, right? I couldn't even have an excuse. Well, I don't work anymore. I don't get out there. So I don't care. There are fields around you. I go out and walk in my neighborhood 3 times a week. You know what? That's a field. I come home and tell my wife, yeah, I passed so-and-so today. There are 3 or 4 people that I see regularly. Guess what? That's a field. I tell my wife, hey, maybe I need to start going to the store with you so I can see some of the same people you meet. Why? Because that's a field. If you're around some people, unless you are a man in a bubble and you can't go anywhere, you are in a field. And God's purpose is for you to influence that field. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear my heart? Yes. Not condemnation, but just, hey, if you're not awake, because some people might be out there influencing their field, I'm saying, hey, I'm about to get on board with you. Because God wants us to influence those around us. Am I going to influence everybody? No, but that's not his intent. But there are people that you're going to come in contact with that God has uniquely qualified you to impact their life. Doesn't mean they're going to get saved when you talk to them. You might be planting a seed. Doesn't mean you plant a seed. You might actually be watering. They heard something from somebody else, then they're hearing it from you, and that confirms it, and it actually touches them. Or you might get to be the grand person that actually walks them through the prayer for salvation, because that's the moment that the anointing hits them, and you say, you know what? I need what you got. But we got to be open for that. We have to be willing to do that, because God's not making us do that. We have to be a willing laborer that we can go out into the field. So my challenge for you is the same way that I've been challenged, and what I've been working on is to get on board with God's actual mission, which is expanding the kingdom. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you've been doing. I'm saying take a personal check and introspection to see, am I active in this area? And then if not, then work to get active. You can come talk to Richard just like I did. I talked to Joel. But Richard have wisdom for you, right? I'm just kicking everybody to Richard because he's the pastor and that's his responsibility. No, not really. I'll help in any way I can. But again, what I want to see is this year, the rest of this year, and going into next year, that we have, just like we've been praying, we have an impact in Austin like we've never seen before. And that's only going to happen if we decide we're going to move beyond ourselves and actually touch somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, Richard.
Very good. Very good. One thing I would add, don't go out winning souls to build the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You build the kingdom.
Yeah.
You influence for the kingdom. You may get somebody saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they go to a church down the street. Maybe that's where God has put them. That is okay. It's absolutely okay. It has to be okay, because if we try to drag them in here and they're supposed to be down the street, they ain't going to last long anyway. It may kill the whole thing. So we build the kingdom. God builds his church. That's just kind of one thing we need to keep in mind. Now, you can bring them to church and they can get saved here, but still, you know, it's not a notch on our gun belt. It's a... It's a star and a crown or whatever, however that works. But we build the kingdom. God builds his church. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word that we have heard tonight. We thank you for your word, Father, that you have released to us and that you have planted in our heart. We will receive it. We will water it. We will watch it grow into what you have desired for it, what you sent it to, Father. We declare that it will not return void. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit seals that word in us, and that everywhere we go, every time we go, you recall that word to our remembrance, and we are ready to represent. We are ready to be an ambassador for you. It's not something that, oh, I forgot to talk to somebody. But no, Father God, you bring it to us. Holy Spirit, you show us those things. Bring it to our remembrance and teach us for every situation and circumstance. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we want to be a blessing to Brother John, as usual. Bucket's up here. Afterwards, we want to sow into his ministry and the things that God has him doing. He's worthy of blessings. Amen. Wanted to mention one thing about this Sunday. Actually, about tonight. We need to take the chairs up and set the tables out. So we're going to fill the whole sanctuary with tables. So, because this is for Sunday morning. Now, I want to clarify something that was said. Sunday morning is going to be a little more formal, probably, than usual, even. A little more formal. Next month, family day, laid back. Bill and Renee will be here. We're just going to let them minister the party. And we'll have a lot of fun with them. And all of our family days, unless otherwise specified, will be informal, casual, except for this one coming up. And Brother Earl has some things planned, and we're going to allow him to lead us this Sunday. Amen? Stand with us as we get prepared to dismiss. Let's just take a minute and worship God and celebrate him and the word that he has given to us tonight. Father, we praise you. We praise you, Lord. Go ahead and just lift your voice and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you that you have a call on our lives, all of our lives, and that we hear your voice and we follow after you. We hear the inklings of your leading, Father God. Even in the still small voice, in the times in a crowded room, we hear your voice to go speak to one or to pray for another. We thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. You are the great I am. You are our life, our protection, our provision. And we celebrate you, Father God. We thank you that you have given us, you have equipped us, and we have become the people that do your will, Father God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. As we hear your voice, we follow hard after you, Father God. And we are obedient children. And your kingdom is advancing because of it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor and praise to you forever and ever and ever and ever. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father God. I call you the blessed of the Lord. You are led forth with the Spirit of God. Everywhere you go, you are the light that shines in the darkness, and you are dispelling the darkness as you show up. And everywhere you are the sweet-smelling savor of God's presence and his glory, and people are drawn to you and to the life that lives inside you. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, and you are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. You are dismissed. Guys, if we can start taking down the chairs.